Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. A cast iron pan is a versatile piece of cookery, or so they tell me. You can use it in the oven, on the stove, and on the grill. And it also has purported health benefits, like the fact that it's chemical-free. You don't have to use as much oil to cook things in it, and it can even add a little iron boost to your food. When you think of cooking with a cast iron skillet, what comes to mind? An old-fashioned country kitchen filled with the aroma of freshly baked cornbread? Sounds delicious and familiar. The expert we have in the studio brought cornbread, and she can help you make it a reality in your own kitchen in the city, country, or wherever. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture writer, regularly featured in the TU, that's the Times Union, and all over Albany. She's also the author of the blog Silly Goose Farm and teaches culinary classes around the Capital Region. Deanna Fox, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back. It's been a few months now.
Yeah, I think, well, we were just talking. I think that every time I've been in here, it's been snowing, so.
And you actually saw snow.
I saw snow today, so it must be a thing. I'm a cold weather cook, I guess.
I think you're hallucinating. And yet the beer that you brought is full, so I know you're not drunk.
We're not drunk yet.
At this time.
Yeah.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org or go to Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet us at WAMC Radio. Actually, just go to WAMC Vox Pop. That's the best way to tweet us. And again, the email is voxpop@wamc.org. And the number is 800-348-2551. So I saw, I think, a post from you that you are teaching a course in cast iron cooking.
Yeah. So besides writing about food, I also teach cooking classes. I guess my approach to food is I believe everyone should have access to wholesome food by honest means, and I can't really imagine means more honest than cooking it yourself. So one class I do is a cast iron class where it talks about a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today, the recipes, how to care for it, how to season it, how to clean it. And it's really popular. People just, they have like a cast iron pan that was their grandmother's. They don't know what to do with it. Maybe it's rusted. They think that they can't use it anymore, but that's not true. If you have a cast iron pan, you could have it forever.
No, okay. Say I come to your class and I say, why? What is the advantage to doing this? Now, I read the mumbo jumbo at the beginning, but what is the true advantage taste-wise to cooking in iron?
Well, there's a couple different advantages to cooking in cast iron. The first one, I think, is that cast iron is really cheap. So to buy a cast iron pan is cost-effective. If you're going out to buy a brand new, you know, triple ply pan or, you know, a brand new Teflon pan, they're expensive. They're $60, $70, $80, sometimes more in that case. A 10-inch cast iron pan like I brought in today, or I'm sorry, that one's 8-inch, is like $25, $30.
And you can even lift this thing. I mean, it's heavy.
Yeah. It's heavy. So that's one advantage. And if you care for it properly, it's something that you're going to have forever. I have a cast iron pan that was my great-grandmother's, but it was her mother's before her, and she used it to make eggs for my great-grandfather every day during their marriage, which was 60-plus years.
Wow. Okay. And so how do you care for it? I mean, obviously, it will rust.
Yes. So one of the advantages of cast iron is that it's actually made out of iron. It, when you cook with it, actually puts a little bit, like trace amounts of iron into the food. So it's really good if you're you know, worried about your health and you need to worry about your iron intake. It's a great solution. Like you said in the intro, you don't have to use a ton of oil to cook in it. You use oil to season it. But with cast iron, really, it's not so much what you cook in it, although we can talk about that, but it's how you care for it. So you have to season it. People who have received a cast iron pan as like a hand-me-down.
Yeah.
From a relative, or they found it in a garage sale, they might notice that the pan is actually smoother, and that's because they changed the way they made the cast iron pans over the last, I don't know, 20 years. So 20, 30, 40 years ago, the pans were very smooth. They were maybe a little bit lighter, and the reason is because they used to polish them. They actually used I'm not sure, it was probably some sort of clay that they made the cast for the cast iron.
Yeah.
And now they use sand, so you get this kind of pebbly texture.
Is that better?
It's neither really here nor there, which is the thing. So if it's smoother, it develops a seasoning faster. So it becomes essentially nonstick faster. With the newer pans, like, so I brought in a Loge. It's spelled like Lodge. It's pronounced Loge.
Oh, yeah.
So people always
I knew that.
Of course you did.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Luge.
But it is pebbly, and that's because they use a sand cast. So essentially they're almost blasting air onto the pan after it's been formed and all the sand crumples off. So it's pebbly, and they don't polish it. And they pre-season it. So it has a seasoning on it already
what
when you get
it. What kind of seasoning?
I'm not sure what they use in the factory, but the best thing to use, in my opinion, is just like a canola or a vegetable or a peanut oil. You have to be really careful about what you use for a seasoning because some oils will become, they'll go rancid and they don't really season as well. So if you use an olive oil, it can actually go rancid as it's sitting in your cupboard. And you don't want anything rancid to
so
go into your food.
So how do you know? I mean, it's just a pan. How do you know you have rancid oil in on your pan? It's only a tiny
it'll
amount.
It'll smell.
The pan will smell.
Yeah, you'll get like a weird smell. And you might get an off color on it too. But, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, my grandmother used bacon fat or, you know, some sort of lard in her pan.
And that will go rancid, right?
It will. The thing is, the reason why it never went rancid for your grandmother is because cast iron was the only pan she was using.
Every day she used it.
Right. And bacon fat was available and it was cheap, you know, whereas a canola oil or a vegetable oil was probably more expensive.
And we've had the discussion about the merits of bacon fat before.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
Yes. I keep a little jar of it in my refrigerator.
So, all right, you've made some things, and this corn, I'm guessing it's cornbread,
mm-hmm.
is made right in the pan?
Yeah, it's made in the pan. So I actually heat the pan up, and I think the recipe for the cornbread should be on the WAMC website.
Oh, good. Let's hope, Jessica.
So people can check that out. But one of the great things about cooking with cast iron is that it holds on to heat really, really well. So when you heat up the pan, it sears everything better. It cooks everything better. If you're using a aluminum pan to cook a steak, when you heat up the pan and then put the steak on, the pan is so thin that you have almost a 300-degree difference in pre-steak versus when you put the steak on, because the steak takes up so much. With cast iron, because it's very heavy and it holds a lot of heat, it keeps the heat regulated better than really any other pan can. So that's another benefit of cast
iron.
And
these are cheap? This seems like a pretty substantial piece of hardware.
They're pretty cheap. Yep.
All right, let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. And that's usually my cue to try some of the food. So I'll try the cornbread. Let's go over to Mona in Bern. Hi, Mona. You're on with Deanna Fox.
Well, I just want to say that I absolutely love using cast iron. I have ones that are very old. They're Wagner. And they were given to me by really old people. And I use them all the time, every day. I have a bread pan that I use, and the bread, when it's done, rolls. Just turn it upside down, the bread rolls out. Nothing ever sticks. And you know, I hardly ever wash them. I know that may sound gross, but I just wipe them out with a paper towel, and they're shiny and wonderful.
Right, so I have a couple of Wagners, too, and they're probably really smooth, right? They're not pebbly,
yeah.
Like, right.
Yep. No, I bought one. That's the pebbly, and you know, I never use it. It's just, it's like, I don't even like it. I don't know what I'll do with it. But the other ones, one lady gave it one to me, and it seemed like I wouldn't be able to get it smooth, but after using it a few times, it smoothed right out.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so I have a Wagner at home that I really love. I think I paid $10 for it at a tag shop, essentially. And I love that pan. It's so smooth. Nothing. I mean, I can fry an egg in there with no butter and it doesn't stick. No oil, nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, all this we've been hearing about with the Teflon and the water and Hoosick Falls.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need Teflon. You know, just use the cast iron. It's wonderful.
Right. And you're talking about things like sliding, your bread sliding right out. And that kind of points to how or why you season cast iron. Mm-hmm. So what essentially happens when you season cast iron is you're putting a fat or an oil on your pan, and when you heat it up to kind of cook that oil in,
mm-hmm.
it's actually creating
yep.
a polymer. So it's you really just need a very thin surface level of your seasoning oil,
right?
And
right.
it creates a polymer, which creates a nonstick surface, just like how you make plastic is when you start with an oil product and
right.
turn that into
the
a polymer.
The more you use it, the better it gets.
That's absolutely true.
Like so many things. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye now. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. How would Deanna Fox know how they make plastic? That's my question right now. Amazing.
I don't know. Well, I'm a journalist. It's my job to figure these things out.
The cornbread's good, by the way.
Thank you.
Give us the quick recipe. We got to take a break here in about a minute, but can you give us this recipe?
Sure. From the top of my head, it's 1 1/4 cups of cornmeal, 3/4 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of sugar, 2 1/2 teaspoons of baking soda, a little baking powder, eggs, butter, milk. You put it in a pan. It's online.
It's so good. Yeah. And the butter on the top, what is that?
I just took a stick of butter that was soft, and I put a little lime zest, some salt, and some adobo sauce that comes in canned chilies, and just mix it together.
Pretty good. All right, let's take a break. I'm going to have some more. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Deanna Fox is our guest. We talk all sorts of cooking. You have a question? The expert is here. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out, at the Curtis House, with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. gloriosaco.com. And Maybe Farm Historic Site, an 18th century farm featuring food exhibit, nature trails, and events for children and adults presenting vernacular architecture in Schenectady with Walter Wheeler this Saturday at 1 p.m. SchenectadyHistorical.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here. You're teaching a course on this tonight, right?
Tonight, yep, at Different Grammar's Kitchen in Albany. And there's a few spots left, but if you want to take the class and it's sold out, we're going to do a waiting list.
Okay.
And then another course.
So yeah. I assume that you can find out more on your website or your blog?
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/foxonfood. All the details are there, and you can sign up right there.
Well, the cornbread's great, and the sweet thing, whatever it is really good. What is that thing?
It's called a tarte tatin. It's a traditional French dessert, and it's so incredibly easy. It doesn't even feel like cooking. It's so easy.
All right, what is it?
Basically, you just take a stick of butter.
Done.
In a pan, or I'm sorry, half a stick of butter, 1/4 cup, unsalted butter, and you put it in your cast iron pan. And you let that melt. You don't brown it. You just melt it. And then you take 1/2 cup of sugar and you sprinkle that on top. Don't stir it. Nothing. Put a little pinch of kosher salt in there. And let that caramelize. The thing you need to remember is that cast iron holds a lot of heat. So it's going to continue. Even when you turn the burner off and you take it off the burner, it's going to continue to cook. So right when the sugar in the middle starts to develop like a medium caramel color, take it off the heat.
Yeah.
And then you take apples that you've cored and peeled and cut into quarters, and you put them round side down, pack them in as tight as you can into that caramel. And then it's just a sheet of puff pastry that you lay over the top. You kind of roll it out to be about a 10-inch square and put it on the top. Put it in an oven at 425 until the puff pastry is nice and golden brown and puffed up. Take it out, give it 10 minutes, run a knife around the outside of the pan between the apples and the pan,
yeah,
and then you flip it upside down so the bottom becomes the top, and it's pretty to look at. It's great for a dinner party,
and it tastes really good.
Thank you.
Deanna Fox is our guest. Back to the phones we go. 800-348-2551 on a Food Friday. Howard in Rhinebeck. Howard.
Hey, Deanna. I used to use cast iron for years, and about 10 years ago I moved into a house with an electric stove, and I stopped using it because I didn't think I could use it on an electric stovetop. Can I?
Yeah. Do you have the coils on your stovetop, or is it the smooth top?
It's a smooth top.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with that. I think the thing that people get nervous about is that cooktop is glass, and the pan is so heavy that they're afraid that you can scratch or break the cooktop. But I've never had a problem. I've cooked with cast iron on induction, gas, electric, over open fire, and I've never had a problem. So,
what about the coils, if you have one of those?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually what I have in my 130-year-old farmhouse. So I have a coil.
You don't have gas at the house?
No, I have an old... It's a four-burner stove with one burner out, so I only have three burners. but I think it's just... It shouldn't be a problem. You can, at some kitchen supply stores or probably on Amazon, find it looks like a trivet, like an old metal trivet, and you can put that on top to kind of act as a barrier, and it will help kind of radiate the heat off of the burner. But I think the thing that people are concerned with, from my understanding, is just that you could scratch or break that cook surface, and then you kind of lose an element or you lose a burner. So as long as you're very careful with it.
It just seemed to me that the heat was transferred so much more quickly from the gas to the cast iron than from the electric to the cast iron.
And that's probably true, because the gas flame, if you think about it, is actually coming up and kind of it's
spreading
allowed to
out,
move
fanning
off
out.
The bottom. Yeah, fanning on the bottom of the pan. Cast iron is actually a really bad, it doesn't radiate heat very well. So if you're to put a 10-inch cast iron pan on a 6-inch burner, it's really not going to heat up. It's only going to heat up in that one place. You need a big burner. Yeah. So try that. But I don't think on your cooktop it should be an issue, as long as you're just, you know, a little bit delicate. Don't slam it down like you can do on a gas cooktop.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Howard, thanks a lot for the call. Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551. Before we get to Sam in Woodstock, and I could see on the sheet what Sam wants to ask.
Okay.
This is one of the big questions we have about this. So let's go to Sam in Woodstock. Sam, I'll let you ask the important question.
Hi. I have a grill cast iron pan. Mm-hmm. You know, it has raised ridges that, you know, I do mostly meats with it. But it oft, you know, times when I use it gets pretty dirty, and I can't simply wipe it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I pour some water in it and boil it. Now I can wipe it out, and I wipe it with some oil. Is that the correct thing to do?
There's this misconception about cast iron that you can't use soap. You can use soap on cast iron. If it's a really well-seasoned cast iron pan, there should be enough layers of seasoning on there that a mild dish soap, like you would use for any other kind of dishwashing, is fine. And just the scrubby side of a kitchen sponge should do it. They actually make a little grooved plastic kind of utensil that you can use to clean out the grates. But you can also, my trick is when I juice a lemon, I keep a little Ziploc bag in my freezer of these lemon halves. And then when I need them, I take one out, I put it just on a plate in my microwave for 15 seconds just to soften it up. And then I take some coarse kosher salt and I sprinkle the kosher salt onto the grill, you know, pan, and use that lemon to kind of go in there and scrub. And what's happening is two things. You get the abrasion from the salt, and you get the acid from the lemon, which will help to pull things up. So that should work. If that doesn't work, you can take a little bit of just white distilled vinegar and put that in your pan and just put it back on your grill or in your oven, and that will help to kind of pull things off. But hopefully that will help. But you can use a little bit of soap if you really need to.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And just, you may have said this already, but what oil do you suggest other than olive oil?
Don't use olive oil. I use just a canola, a vegetable, or peanut if I have it.
Why no olive oil?
Because it can go rancid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Sam,
right,
thanks
cool.
a lot for the call.
Cool. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So what's stopping me from just putting it in the dishwasher?
Well, it'll rust. You'll lose. It's too hot. It's too wet.
If you dry it off real quick,
yeah,
it's going to rust?
Yeah, the dishwasher will really strip off your, you know, my mother had a cast iron pan that my dad put in the dishwasher once, and I'm pretty sure it almost caused a divorce. So
okay.
Don't do it.
All right, won't do that then. Our number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. This one comes in from Linda via email. We were given a set of pots and pans as a wedding gift 39 years ago. We use them daily, especially for eggs and pancakes. My favorite use is for brown rice. I usually rub a tiny bit of oil in the 2-quart saucepan, bring two cups of water to a boil, add 1 cup brown rice, boil again, and then turn the burner down to near the lowest temp. Then I can forget about the rice for anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Linda, thanks for that. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest. Mary in Pittsfield, you're on.
Hi. I have a kind of a strange question, but over Christmas, someone gave me like a kitschy, you know, sort of a tchotchke that's like a candle in a small cast iron pan. It's probably 4 inches across. And it's a cruddy candle. You know, it's made with some kind of junky stuff. It smells really garbagey. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, this pan is kind of nice. But I wasn't sure. Do you think it's safe to, I don't think I can get the candle out without actually melting it in the pan. What are your thoughts?
Do you know it's really cast iron for the first question?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. If there's like any kind of manufacturer symbol on there, like on the bottom or on the handle, just, you know, do a quick Google search to make sure. But take a butter knife or something and try to break up the wax a little bit. And then my trick for getting candle wax out is I just boil some water and pour it in. And that wax will actually melt, and it comes up to the surface and forms like this film. And then you can just kind of pull the film off. And that should and then, you know, I just take like a paper towel and kind of clean it out. But that should work. How big is the pan?
It's small. It's about 4 inches across.
Okay. Well, that could be, you know, you could make, oh gosh, you could do like
eggs.
Yeah.
One egg at a time.
Eggs.
Yeah.
You could do a little tiny pie in there, or a brown Betty. That would be really cool.
But the thing is, though, Mary, if it was me, I would be paranoid that it was lead or something that wasn't quite iron.
Yeah.
And so be careful, you know?
Good plan. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, who is teaching an actual course on this tonight.
Tonight, 6 o'clock.
Do you ever sleep? That's the question. Let's go to Robin in Albany. Robin.
Hi there. I have to ask my question and then hang up because I got to drive. But this show is very fortuitous to me because we're actually trying to start using cast iron now on doctor's orders for my wife's anemia.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one thing I was going to ask if you could confirm or deny that the iron actually gets into your food.
It really does.
Sam already asked about the cleaning, which was my main question. I might also ask you to enlarge a little bit on storage because those are the two things that have daunted me for so long and kept me from using cast iron. But thank you so much for doing the show.
Okay, and we'll let you. You're going to hang up?
Yeah, I got to drive.
All right, Robin. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
So first of all, the health benefits, it does actually, I mean, it's just trace amounts of iron, but it actually does kind of seep out into the food. It doesn't affect the taste for the most part, but it really does help with the iron.
Well, if it's doctor's orders, he must know, right?
Yeah.
Or she.
Yeah, and as far as storage goes, I keep mine kind of nestled into each other, different sizes, with just a paper towel between them. And really the paper towel is not so much I need to worry about it in the winter, but in the summer when it's humid, it will soak up any kind of humidity or moisture that might be in the air so I don't get any rust. But they're really durable. I mean, I know people who just throw them in the drawer under the old ranges.
Yeah, that's the way we do all of our pans.
Yeah, I know somebody who just keeps them in a stack on top of the stove. Or in the oven, and you can't. There's not a wrong way to store them, really. Don't store them in water, obviously, but that's about it.
Good plan. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Heather in Troy. Heather, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
I was
thing.
Just wondering what you recommend for seasoning a new cast iron pan.
Yeah, so
like
most...
How would you do that?
Most pans now that you get will be seasoned. You can tell if it's seasoned or not. If it's not seasoned, it'll have like this gunmetal gray kind of look to it. If it is seasoned, it'll have a more glossy black color. But it's a factory seasoning, and just like when you buy anything else new, you should give it a good wash before you use it. So just hot soapy water. It doesn't have to be anything terribly abrasive. You just kind of give it a light scrub, rinse it out, dry it really well. And then just before you use it, the best way to season cast iron is just to take a little bit of your oil. So again, a vegetable, a canola, a peanut, flaxseed is traditionally used as well. And you don't need a lot. You just need enough to cover everything. So put a little bit in, like maybe a tablespoon or maybe two, depending on the size of your pan. Take a paper towel and rub that all over, inside, outside, in the handles, in the little holes for the handles. Turn your oven up to like 400 and put it in there for 30 minutes and then just turn the oven off and let it cool right in the oven. And okay. I do mine like at night, the last thing before I go to bed, and I just turn them off. When I come back in the morning, they're fine. If you have any residual oil, you can just kind of wipe that out, and that should be good to go. But for the first 6 months of using it, if you're really using it, you need to re-season it after every use. And that's really going to help build it up. And then, you know, depending on what you make, you can kind of get away with not seasoning it every time. But really, at least every other time, you'd want to season it after that.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. We appreciate the call. It's Food Friday. It is Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. This email came in at voxpopwamc.org from Patty Ann, who says, rusted cast iron. How do you fix or treat?
Yeah, I actually have a cast iron that I brought in for my class tonight. It's just a little 6-inch guy, and it was completely rusted. And I got it for 50 cents, the tag sale. And just like we've been talking about for how to clean it and how to season it, you would do that again. So basically, you're going to give it a good wash. Take that lemon with the kosher salt and scrub that out. Dry it really well. Season it with your oil. Put it in the oven at 400 for 30 minutes. Let it cool. And just keep doing that until, you know, the rust is gone or mostly gone, especially on the inside. You can, if it's rusted on the outside, you know, you can get away with it a little bit, but you really want to make sure the cooking surface is rust-free.
Okay, and then this one's from Bill. My grandmother always said if God had wanted cornbread to have sugar in it, he would have called it cake. I believe that in Texas, it's a misdemeanor to put sugar in it. Do you have a no-sugar recipe for cornbread?
Yes, that is a big thing. I have a colleague who writes in the South in Atlanta, and she's always posting about this particular topic. It's such a divisive topic. Is there sugar in the cornbread or isn't there? If you don't want sugar in the cornbread, just take the sugar out. Really, I mean, it's that simple. The recipe's online on the WAMC website. Just omit the quarter cup of sugar.
Okay, fair enough. And back to the phones we go. Let's go to Sean in Kinderhook. Sean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Ray.
Sure.
I use a cast iron pan frequently, and I just kind of, you know, reiterating what I've been hearing, you know, if it does get heavily soiled, I always would wash mine with, you know, mild dish detergent and you know, a sponge. And as soon as I washed it, I would just put oil on it and throw it in the oven and re-season it again. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best way I've found, and I've never had an issue ever. But I didn't know that you put it in at 400 degrees for a half an hour. I mean, I would put mine in at about 350 for like maybe 20 minutes, and then I would take it right out. I didn't know that was the way to properly do it.
Yeah, really, the higher the heat, it's just going to sear, and it's going to turn that oil into a polymer that much quicker. So it's really going to stick it on there almost like a magnet. So the higher the heat, the quicker that oil is going to kind of stick on there.
That's interesting.
But if you find the 350 for 20 minutes works for you and that continues to work, don't stop doing what you're doing. Just keep doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Sean. You know, I got to say I'm shocked that so many people are interested in cast iron. Jessica puts these shows together, and sometimes I say, well, God, how's anyone going to care?
Right.
This is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a real thing. Can you make a nice deep dish pizza in one of these?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you brought that up. I love pizza in a cast iron pan.
Really?
Yes, because you get such a nice so you got to heat the pan up first.
Okay.
Get the pan pretty hot. And then you just put a little bit of oil. You can use olive oil in this case because you're not seasoning. You're just cooking with it. So you just kind of brush it around the inside of the pan. And then you put the dough in and do what you need to do. And I have a couple of the smaller 6-inch ones, so I'll make like little personal pan pizzas for my kids in those. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Jen, I just got this email just now. Jen in the Lower Hudson Valley says, can you make tomato-based recipes in cast iron? I've heard that tomatoes are too acidic and not recommended for cast iron.
Right. So really the only thing that you cannot cook in cast iron is anything with a really high acid level for a really long period of time. Because what happens, if you've ever like bitten down, if you have a filling and you've bitten down on a piece of like gum foil, and you get that really metallic tinny taste in your mouth, that's what happens in your food.
So it releases more of the iron?
It doesn't release more of the iron. It creates a chemical reaction with the iron. So you get that really metallic taste. And unless you can do like a quick, after your pan is really well seasoned, so after you've had it for 6 months and you've been seasoning it every time that you cook, you can do like a quick wine sauce if you've done haddock or salmon in the pan. And if you're cooking tomatoes for like 10 minutes, you can throw them in. But that Sunday gravy, don't do that.
And, but the pizza would be okay even if it has some sauce on it?
Because the sauce isn't touching. Yeah. But the other part is you can get cast iron that has an enamel coating, which is like a glass coating. And that's when a lot of Dutch ovens are cast iron with enamel coating. And you can cook anything in those. So I cook pretty much exclusively either in bare cast iron or enamel-coated cast iron, because you can cook anything in those.
Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's a Food Friday, and it's going fast. Back to the phones we will go in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Edward Bike, Picturing the American Revolution, juxtaposing a 20th century view of the Revolutionary War with 18th century portraits, arkellmuseum.org. And Fidelis Care, offering health insurance coverage for children and adults of all ages in New York State, fideliscare.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff here with our buddy, a Hall of Famer here on Food Friday, Deanna Fox. It must have been your 10th appearance.
No, I don't know if it's that many, but we've been here a couple
of times. I think you have the record.
Yeah.
This email came in, says, canola, soy, sunflower, corn, all of those boring oils work fine for seasoning the pans.
Right, right. You just don't want anything that's going to go, has a high volatility.
Right.
So you want to stay away from like an animal fat or an olive oil.
This whole business about acid, you know, tomatoes and stuff causing chemical reactions, that kind of frightens me. That would put me off from cast iron.
Yeah, you know, it's not like a chemical reaction that's going to hurt you. It's just it creates an off flavor. You'll get like this tinny flavor. But, you know, if your cast iron is really well seasoned, like the ones I brought in today, you can make a wine reduction that takes 20 minutes and that should be fine. Cooks, you know, I use a caramelized onion recipe that has a little bit of vinegar in it. And that's fine. But to do something like a really heavy tomato-based product for all afternoon, you're going to get that taste.
Can you do a chocolate cake?
Yeah.
Why didn't you? First of all.
I know.
But all right, so how would you do a cake? I see cornbread, and it's similar.
Yeah. So with the cornbread, I heat up the pan first. I get the pan really screaming hot. I put it in the oven at 425 and leave it in there for about 10 minutes to make sure it's hot while I'm making the cornbread. And then when you put the batter in, you put a little bit of melted butter in the pan, you put the batter in, and you can hear it sizzle, and you can see it pull away from the sides of the pan. What is happening is it's searing the outside, so you get this really tender, you know, crumb on the inside, and then you get kind of a crisp exterior layer. Then when you put it in the oven, you turn the oven down to 375 and it cooks through. But it's the same concept as when you sear a steak or a piece of fish or anything like that. You want to kind of sear that outside and get a nice, crispy exterior.
Deanna Fox is our guest. Let's go to Nancy in Amsterdam. Nancy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I guess other people have answered my question already. I was wondering how often you season your pan, especially one that's maybe been in the cupboard for a while. You know, maybe it was your mother's pan and it got stuck in the back and it hasn't been used in God knows when. And, you know, is there some prescribed way, you know, frequency with which you do this seasoning, or can you save an old pan like that?
Great question.
Yeah, I mean, unless the pan has a hole in it, where it's completely rusted through, you can save pretty much any cast iron pan that you come across. I've never had a cast iron pan I couldn't bring back from the dead. How often you season it, really every time that you cook. So even if you're just frying an egg in there, you know, you want to really re-season it until you know that there's a really good layer of seasoning on there. It looks pitch black. It's glossy. Nothing sticks. When you get to that point, you could probably do every other time that you cook. But you really want to do it at least every other time that you cook in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Nancy, thank you for calling. Our number to call is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Peter in Norfolk, Connecticut. Peter.
Hello. I've had a little bit of luck bringing back old sort of rusted cast iron pans using electrolysis to take the rust off.
Huh.
I just wondered if you might have some insight into that or some thoughts.
And you could take the mustache off the thing, too, for that, very nicely.
I mean, I've never done that. I imagine that it's just the, you know, what, electromagnetic whatever that's kind of blasting off that flaked iron. So, you know, people will sandblast old cast iron. I know somebody who had an old Dutch pot, essentially a Dutch oven. It was rounded on the bottom and it was really rusted through and they just sandblasted it. So I'm guessing it's the same kind of abrasion, but most of us don't have an electrolysis machine or sandblaster.
It's a very good point, Deanna.
So if you know somebody who can do that, then, you know, why not? It's easier. But otherwise, just, you know, scrubbing and seasoning and scrubbing and seasoning until the rust is gone is going to do it for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. We appreciate the call. Always great to hear from Connecticut. This email came in from Jill, who says, with all due respect, my mom had Wagner pans back in the 60s and 70s and always did spaghetti sauce and chili in her pans, and the flavor was fine. Or have the pans changed since?
So the older Wagner pans are polished and they're smoother, so they season faster.
Yeah.
They don't hold their seasoning quite as well as the newer pans do. And so, like I said earlier, if it's really, really well seasoned, that polymer that the seasoning creates, you have to really work harder to pull the iron out. So it could be, you know, it could be tougher. If it's something that only took an hour to cook, there's not enough time probably to really create that chemical reaction. But, you know, I would still avoid, you know, an all-day Sunday sauce.
But on the other hand, maybe Jill just likes metallic spaghetti sauce. Let's go over to George in Hilburn. George.
All right, great. Thanks for taking my call. So I actually want to talk about the electrolysis method.
Okay.
That's actually very easy to do. It's just baking soda and water and a positive and negative charge. And it's actually just reverse electroplating the rust off of anything metallic. The best way, I would say, to basically hit the reset button on an old crusty pan, not necessarily rusty, would be to put it in an oven on the self-clean cycle. That'll bring it up to about 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit and just literally burn everything off of the pan, bringing it down to basically a fresh casting, brand new.
Interesting.
Right, and I've actually heard of people doing that. You just want to make sure that if you're going to self-clean your oven and you just seasoned your pan, you don't want to forget that it's in there because you're going to lose that seasoning that you just created. But if you're starting from scratch, that's a fine solution. Just don't confuse that with, like, chemical oven cleaner that you would put on, because that's too caustic.
Absolutely,
and that
not.
Create,
and I would say for using Easy Off to get the gunk off, it may be a little easier. It doesn't stink up your oven, but it is very dangerous. And I might burn myself with that.
Yeah.
Why? So don't do that.
Yeah.
And likewise, I would say probably don't spray Rust-Oleum on it. That would probably not be a good thing.
Not
to
a
do.
Good thing.
Don't paint it. That's true.
Good
yeah.
Point.
I admit, so about seasoning, what I've found is using an oil like a vegetable oil may work, but it will sometimes leave a sticky residue. Back in the day, they used to use not bacon grease, but beef tallow, which is a solid at room temperature. Modern bacon has too much salt in it, which gets into the grease, and you can't season with a salty grease. But the best modern alternative would be to use Crisco vegetable shortening, because it is hard at a room temperature. And because of that, it has a higher smoke point, and it polymerizes at a higher temperature, leaving a harder seasoning on the iron.
Right. So they say, too, that it's less reactive. So Crisco is less reactive than a lot of other oils or fats that you would use, and therefore it creates a seasoning that sticks quicker and creates that polymer quicker. So I've known people who use Crisco, and I'm not an anti-Crisco kitchen. I use Crisco, too. So you could probably use that if you wanted to. But you're right. Sometimes vegetable oil will leave, or a peanut or canola will leave a little bit of a sticky residue. As long as I found in my experience that as long as you don't over oil it, if you just use that really light coating, it's usually not a problem. But if you do get that sticky thing, just again with the lemon and the salt, just go in after that and it'll come right off.
I would agree. And just to close up, last comment, I'm a big fan and collector of Griswold cast iron. Griswold,
yes,
and Wagner, I think, are the two best antique brands. And,
they are.
You know, I would encourage people to go on eBay, and they're trading for, you know, reasonable prices. And
George,
you will have a pan that'll last your whole life.
No, George, you're giving away our secret. Everyone, we're going to lose our pans.
Thanks, George. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Who knew we could take so many calls about reconditioning iron pans?
That's because they're so, you know, you find them in, like, the junk bins at a garage sale.
Yeah.
And you can find really nice ones.
All right, what else can you cook in them? Give me a recipe. I know you got the course, the class coming up. What else can I do with it?
I mean, literally, I cook everything in cast iron or cast enamel. I have, you know, stock pots and sauce pots that I use, but pretty much everything is in cast iron in my house. In the class we do the cornbread, the tarte tatin, caramelized onions, a steak.
A steak?
Yeah. Mm. Potatoes, just like a cubed up potato recipe because they get so crispy when you cook them in cast iron. And a cobbler recipe. You can really cook. I mean, I love doing like old school Americana desserts, like a cobbler, a brown Betty, a grunt, a slump, any of that stuff. So.
A grunt and a slump. I don't know what either of those things.
They're like a cobbler.
Okay, fair enough. Back to the phones. And Mike in Pittsfield. Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Unfortunately, your last caller kind of stole my thunder.
Rats.
When my mother passed away, I found in the garage an old frying pan that she had tossed out because apparently she'd set a fire in it or something. It was all encrusted.
Mm-hmm.
You could just see on the sides where it was just bubbled up and everything. And she thought she ruined it, so she tossed it out in the garage. And my sister was going to throw it out. And I said, nope, I can fix that. So I took it home, put it in the oven on the self-cleaning cycle. And when it was done, it was a pile of ash on the bottom of the oven. Cleaned it, and then I washed out, and I was, to my surprise, as your previous caller, it turned out to be a Griswold frying pan,
mm-hmm,
really old one. So I quickly reconditioned it, and it's back in service.
Nice.
Yeah, the Griswolds are great. One thing I want to caution people about the self-cleaning cycle is that sometimes if you use it too much, you can actually burn out your elements in your oven. So I don't really use my self-cleaning cycle really ever. My trick is to just use a little bit of vinegar, water, and baking soda in a shallow dish. And I put my oven at like 500, and I just let that kind of cook in there, and it releases everything off the floor of the oven or off the, you know, the shelf of the oven, and then I can just go in with a rag and kind of wipe it off.
Okay, but yeah. I only do this, you know, this was a rare occasion to
try
to recondition this pan, and then we've been, you know, seasoned it, and it's back in business.
Yeah.
Also, my wife has for years had a Wagner pan that she had, which I prefer. I like the smooth inside as opposed to the newer stuff.
Yeah, I have Griswolds and Wagners, and they're awesome. They're just great pans. And they're old. They're 50, 60 years old. They're great.
Thanks,
and,
Mike.
And just one other thing, too, about Ray kind of caught in there with the pizza in the cast iron pans. One of the recipes we use for Boy Scout cooking, because we don't allow them to use stoves, we cook on open fires, and we use the Dutch ovens,
mm-hmm,
and they have a deep dish Dutch oven pizza recipe that actually comes out really good.
In a Dutch oven? That must be very deep dish. Well, thank you.
It's a large Dutch oven.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. Before we go to the next call, explain this new learning to me. So to not use the self-clean, you put vinegar and water and what? And then you just turn it to 500 and what happens? Explain.
And baking soda. So it's just like the volcano in science class.
So you let it overflow.
No, it doesn't overflow. It does create a reaction, but the vapors kind of peel everything off, all the grime and the grease. It kind of peels everything off the walls and the shelf and the floor of the
You're
oven,
kidding
and
me.
Then you can just kind of wipe it off. Yeah.
So, in other words, you put it on a rack,
yep,
right, halfway, maybe midway in the oven,
mm-hmm,
and it cleans below as well?
Yeah, because the vapors kind of pull everything up.
Are you sure about all this?
I swear to you.
All right, Deanna Fox is here. I'm incredulous. Let's go to Rick in Ackard. Rick.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've been cooking with cast iron since I was 8 years old. We started at deer camp on Wood Range, Kitchen Wood Range. And one of the facts you may not know is sizing on cast iron pans number 6, number 8, number 10 corresponds to the rings in a cast iron lid on the wood stove. So if you're using a number 6 pan, you could pull the number 6 ring on the wood stove, and it leaves that pan exposed directly to the fire, the heat.
That is
write
cool.
That down for the class tonight, Deanna.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I heat my house with wood, and when my friends come over for the holidays, we do, because we're, you know, cheesy, chestnuts roasted on an open fire, and I just take the cast iron pan that the cornbread is in right now, and I put the chestnuts in there, and we put it right in the coals of the fire. Yeah, cast iron, you can't ruin it.
Yeah, and yeah. For cleaning, at least for the rust part, one of the simplest things is white vinegar. If you immerse cast iron in white vinegar, it may take a day or 2 days. It'll completely remove every bit of rust right down to the bare metal.
Right.
And without any scrubbing.
You can do that. I actually had a kitchen fiasco last week. I actually melted. I forgot about dinner, dealing with kids and work. I melted a Dutch oven, an enamel-coated Dutch oven, onto my stove. but I was convinced, I was able to pry it off of the coil on the stove. The coil is dead, of course. But just vinegar and a little bit of baking soda, and you boil it, and it pulls all that burnt food right off. It's pretty great.
Yep. And the other thing I would say is for seasoning, when I season, basically same thing, high temperature in the oven, except I put it in first and preheat it to about 400 degrees and then use lard and coat the entire pan with lard and then put it back in for the heating cycle, same as you use, and let it cool and then reseason with lard each time.
Yep.
All right, Rick, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Have a good weekend. Over to Diane in Catskill. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my cast iron skillets, which is the only thing that I cook on, was passed on to me by my great-grandmother. I'm in my 70s, so they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And one thing is that I have seasoned mine, not seasoned, after I cook in them, I wipe them down, rinse them out with hot water, and then I put a little bit of olive oil. I don't think I've had a problem with being rancid, but that and never using soap on a cast iron skillet is what I've been told.
Well, it's worked for you.
Yeah. I think a lot of people believe that you can't use soap. You can use a mild soap. It's not really going to hurt the pan. If you're cooking every day with your cast iron and using olive oil, there's just simply not enough time for it to go rancid.
But if
you're somebody who uses it.
I was just not sure that maybe it was like it didn't have a higher temperature to, you know, really become not gummy or anything like that. But I wouldn't cook in anything else.
Yeah.
So I thank you for your program.
Diane, thank you very much. All right, Deanna Fox, quickly, and you have 30, 40 seconds. Best way to cook a steak in a cast iron pan.
Get it ripping hot, high heat. Season your, before you start your pan, season your steak with just kosher salt. Leave it in your fridge uncovered for an hour. It's going to pull off surface moisture, so you get a really, really nice sear. Pat it dry with a paper towel. Get that pan really hot. Add, you know, maybe 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 2 tablespoons of butter. Let it melt. Put it down and let it sear. Leave it on high heat. Flip it over for another 2 minutes. Turn the heat down slightly lower, and that's it.
That's medium rare, right?
You can get to medium at that point, but why are you eating steak that's more than medium?
Why are you confronting me and causing a fight here at the end of the program? Deanna Fox, great job. If people want to find out more about your upcoming classes and events and everything else, where do they go?
You can go to facebook.com/foxonfood, or you can find it on Twitter and Instagram at Deanna N. Fox.
Well, you're in the Hall of Fame here on Food Friday for a good reason. Well done. And support for WAMC comes from Terrapin Red Bistro, serving mac and cheese, quesadillas, natural beef burgers, tapas, original cocktails, craft beer, and local wine, lunch, dinner, and late night, TerrapinRestaurant.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And Curran Compliance Services, Incorporated. Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners. CurranCompliance.com. Thanks again to Deanna Fox for being here. Thanks to you for listening and all the great calls about seasoning cast iron pans. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a wonderful weekend, and the news is next.